Wahrnehmung. Brilliant. As always, it is a genuine joy to be able to be together, to know the Lord Jesus together, to be family, to be friends, to know, and we've obviously emphasized this already this morning, but that we have a Father, not just a earthly one, but even more significant, a heavenly one. Hi guys, looking through the equipment. And we don't always do this on Father's Day, but I want to deliberately celebrate him in this particular way this morning. And it's a great privilege, isn't it, to get to stand up here and look at you guys and just think, family. And we're together because of him. And I'm just sidetracked immediately just by looking at you all and knowing our together love for him. Anyway, I want to do this kind of simply and probably won't be too long. I want to start with some verses from the beginning of Ephesians. I read these, I think it might have been last week. But I want to start here and then just emphasize a few simple things for us this morning. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, and goes like this, Ephesians chapter 1, from the beginning, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. I love this. And I just want to kind of pull this out for us just straight away as we move on. Here's a thought. It has been said many times, not always in a very positive way, that you can't choose your family. You ever heard that expression? You can't choose your family. But here's the thing. God has chosen his. Amen? It's a wonder, isn't it? What a choice. And yet, we genuinely can put ourselves in that space. And it's like, that's my brother Phil. I love Phil. And it's like, Phil, chosen by God. Amazing. I mean, it's not amazing in Phil's case to me, but chosen. Chosen by God. And not only chosen, and like, we can't really dig too much into this morning, but kind of predestined unto what? Adoption. Adoption. It, choice into God's family. And this is what he does. And he chooses. He gathers unto himself, into his family, and he adopts us into his family, to himself, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, you and me. Miracle of grace. And we are chosen of God. We are adopted by God. And one of the kind of emphasis that comes out of thinking about this word adoption is this thought that we are placed as sons. and daughters. That is our, and again we were singing about this, weren't we? But this is our identity. Sons and daughters of God. Because of what he has done, because of his choice, and he has gathered and he has adopted us into his family. And I kind of just want to throw this out there and grateful for this truth, for this reality. It is who we are. We were singing this, but it's who we are, and it is because of what he has done. And I love the fact that God does not just gather a people. He does do that. But in his gathering of a people, he is building a family. We kind of talk about this quite a bit here, and it's like, no apology. It's great. We are gathered by him, and we are gathered into this extended family of God. It's relational, it's personal, it's real. It's adopted into sons and daughters of God. And I'm so grateful. Galatians chapter 4, and read this down from verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. Amazing, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God, has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And you can read it down. But I'm just, again, what God has done, and through this adoption, and through this being brought into his family, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. He has done something internal, real, and significant in bringing us into his family. It is a work that he does, and he gifts to us the Spirit of his Son. And do you know that as he does that, there is this spontaneous and initial response to him that comes from our hearts, and it's this, Daddy. Isn't it? We need this to be true for all kinds of reasons that I'm not even going to try and touch this morning, but we need this to be true. But it is true. And God works in us, and he gifts to us the Spirit of his Son, and then there is this cry, this rising to him, this response of knowing. Knowing family. Knowing togetherness. And it's this. Abba. Father. There is this realization of relationship that he has done something in us and gathered us into himself. And there is this childlike expression. Daddy. I've discovered God is my Father. Aren't you grateful? He is my Father. God made this really real to me some years ago, and I needed him too. But it was just like a fresh revelation that on a personal level, God, Almighty God, he is my Daddy. Do you know all of us? I don't care how old you are. There's a little place somewhere on the inside, and you're still a little child in this respect. And I can be towards him. He's my daddy. He's my father. He cares for me personally. Amazing. This is who he is. I want us to see this and love this reality that you and I are parented by God. What do you reckon? That's got to be a good option. We are parented by him. Everything else is secondary to that reality. You and I are parented by him, and this is wonderful. This is a safe place. So, if this is true, and we are aware by his spirit that it is, because there's this response to him, it's like, yes, Father, okay, what is he like in his parenting of you and me? And I want to just, that's too big a subject. So I'm just going to hone it down to a few simple little things. And there's a whole bunch of other things that we could maybe talk about another time. But I want to draw our attention to a few simple things. And you think about the fact that God is a good, good Father. Thank you, Philip. We sang that this morning. God is a good, good Father. It is necessary often for us to identify the fact, not that just God is our Father, but that he is a good, good Father. A good Father. What does that mean? And when you begin to think about that, where do you start? What do you think? And you might go to all kinds of places, but I want to start somewhere for us. And it's this simple thing. And again, there's a lot of childlikeness, really, in all of this. But God, as our Father, is gentle. King David said, "It is his gentleness that made me great." And you can kind of read that in different ways. But his testimony, if you like, and I would like to say my testimony of my Heavenly Father, is that he has been gentle with me. And you might not necessarily think that I require gentleness, but I do. And so do you. We all require a gentleness from God. And I find that there is such a power in gentleness. So often I think that we can hear him and respond to him because he deals with us in gentleness. It's like his gentleness opens us up to him, makes us feel safe with him, and he can lead us into spaces that maybe we otherwise would not go. But God has a way of dealing with us internally, but also just in acts of kindness and love which demonstrate his gentleness to us. Have you found this to be so? I have, regularly. Thank you, Michelle has. That's wonderful. And it is who he is. And he is a good, good Father. And somehow in the way that he deals with us, there is a gentleness about his fatherliness. And we need this to be so. And it is. And it's wonderful. So gentleness. God deals with us in gentleness. I'm going to read, this is a well-known passage of scripture, and I'm just going to kind of jump into it and read these verses. This is from 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm kind of a bit all over the place, but don't worry, keep with me. 1 Kings chapter 19, and we find this story, and it's this famous story, if you're familiar with the Bible, of Elijah, and he kind of feels like he's running for his life. And we get to Horeb. He gets to Horeb, and we read in verse 9, "Then he came to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And he said, go forth, stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And in this translation, it says, and after the fire, a sound of gentle blowing. Gentle blowing. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and spoke. And you can read it on. But again, this is a kind of really graphic illustration in a way and story. And you find, obviously, in amongst this, the kind of the smashing of rocks and the quaking earth and fire burning, and there's drama and there's noise and there's violence in a way. And but God, he discovered that God was in the stillness of a still small voice. He was in this gentle, if I can put it like this, breathing out of God. And he speaks to us in this way. And he does not wrongly assert himself upon your life. He doesn't force you. He doesn't come with violence in that way as he deals with us. But there is something of this gentleness and gentle speaking of God by his Spirit into our hearts and into our lives. And there is this invitation from him to go with him where he leads us. Isn't it? And we can learn to be sensitive to the sound of his voice and go with him. He is so attractive. And we will just go with him as he speaks. The blowing, the gentle blowing of his Spirit. He is gentle, this good Father. Another thing, I'm just going to, again, just jump in on this. But I want to make this point for us quickly here this morning. And it's this, that God, again, ultimately, and this is worked out in all sorts of different ways, but God is our provider. Real time. Not just conceptually true, but actually true. Real time. God, my Father, and I must admit, I feel slightly self-conscious saying daddy about God, but it's good. I'm in a way, like, I'm just quite happy with it, but it's just like, daddy is my provider. We've got to get this kind of connection because it's who he is to us. It's father. Sometimes you can think father, austere and distant, maybe. Depends on your background. But there's something of this. And it's like, God, my daddy, is my provider. Safe, isn't it? Safe, and he is. And again, he shows himself in just all kinds of ways. And we could look at various things, but we could look at right in the beginning. And we can do this with so many things. You can just go to the garden. It's like Adam and Eve and the creation story. And there was every plant that was good to eat. And there was provision. God provided for his children. And they kind of got involved. But ultimately, the provision, it comes from him, doesn't it? And on all kinds of levels, he provided for them relationally. He provides for us now, obviously, within creation and the way things work together and complement one another and just in all kinds of ways. But ultimately, we go back and it's like, where is this incredible provision coming from? Daddy. It is, isn't it? Amen, Adam. Amen. This is it. He is the one who provides, and he is a good, good father. And we want to kind of keep emphasizing this point. He is good all of the time. He is good to us. He provides for us. He deals in gentleness. And let me read this to us. This is Luke and chapter 12. And I'm going to read a few verses from verse 24, well known. Consider the ravens. Consider the ravens. For they don't sow or reap. They have no storerooms and barns. And yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? You can try and answer that. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he provide for you? Will he clothe you, you of little faith? And it's wonderful, and God does continue to provide. I want to, here's a little personal testimony, and this, I have to caveat this. This was a bit of a one-off event in a way, but I want to give it to us because it's practical, it's real. These things, they are worked out in our lives, aren't they? They're worked out in our daily, ordinary, everyday lives. I've probably said this before, but a few years ago, I can't even remember the details. That's how old I'm getting. But anyway, there was something going on, this financial thing, bottom line, I thought, what would sort this out is about $5,000. And didn't have it. So it's like, what are you going to do? And I felt at that point, and this is not always what happens, but at that point, I thought, I think I should pray about this and ask Daddy. And so it was real to me. It wasn't just like, this is what you do. It was like there was this provocation of God. Well, ask him. And it was quite a step for me, to be honest. And so I prayed about it, and I was quite specific. And I asked God, Father, could you give me £5,000, please? And do you know what happened? The next week, we got a check in the post for £5,000 from some guy that friend, but I hadn't seen for years. And somehow he was provoked of God to write a check for £5,000 and put it in the post box, and then it arrived on our doormat. And it's like, oh, Daddy, look what you did. And it's like, again, I'm not saying every time there's like a financial situation going on, this is what to do. I'm not suggesting that. It might be sometimes. And in that moment, it was. So it's like, oh, well, let's just go with him then. And then we see, genuinely, real time, God provided. Didn't have an answer. Wonderful. I'm making this point because it's real. And in different ways, this works out in our lives. And in so many ways, God has provided for me and for us. And sometimes he has brought people, often people, into my life in timely ways. And you see that it is the hand of God and his provision to help you to continue to move forward. Here's another thing We're getting there. Let's make this point. And it's this, that Father, my Father, in his gentleness and in his provision, he is most certainly my protector. He is. And you know what? In this particular battle that we're in, so often he's moving in unseen things in his protection. And in other ways, we're aware of it more and things happen, but God is my protector. Not me. Naturally, before I knew him, I was most definitely my protector. But that finished. And something better came. And God is my protector. And I want to kind of illustrate this for us in a particular way. And so sometimes when we are aware of our need of his protection, do you know another spontaneous moving to him that comes as well as daddy is this other thing, really profound word, and it's this, help. Help, daddy. It is, and we are aware, I need him, I need his protection, and I need his keeping. And you know, within this word, help, there's this thought that runs through it. And you know, it's this. This thought that you run to the sound of the cry. That he runs to the sound of the cry. Help! And there's this in it. Run to the sound of the cry. And this is what God does. He does it for us. Here's a little story. Some time ago, when the kids were much younger, we went on a family walk. Your mum might have told you this story before, but anyway. We went on a family walk, and we're in the fields near our house, and we've come into this big field, surrounded by hedges, and then as we look forward down the field, there's another hedge, then it goes into another field, and there's two entrances, one either side, to get into the next field. So we're walking down this field, all together as a family, and then the boys, courageous, they decide, we're going to go a different way. And so they decide they're going to go off to the other side of the field and come down and pass through the other access point into the further field. I hope this is making sense. So anyway, we're walking down one side of the field, me and Charlotte and Izzy, and then the boys decide they're going to go the other way. They're walking down the other side of the field, and then we pass into the further field at the same time through different access points. Okay? So as we do this, there's a moment when Harry, who was really little, he couldn't see us. Just for a moment. And we're just passing into this next space. And he couldn't see us. And something happened. And you know what? In the moment, couldn't see us. And a cry went up. And he was like, Daddy, help! Do you know what happened in that moment? Run to the sound of the cry. I could hear in the cry, that's real. There's something there. It's coming from a real place of need, if you like. Just an awareness, in a little one, felt vulnerable. What do you do? Daddy, help! And instantly, the response of the father is, run to the sound of the cry, protection. Wonderful, isn't it? And this is how he is with us. He is. And we, in that sense, we come into his safety, his protection. We are his children. And we continue to be. However old we become. He deals with us in this way. Father. Father. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that here it is, that we are chosen, that we are adopted, that we are fathered by him. And let's just keep that. We are fathered by him. And he has done something so profound in our lives that there's this response to him. Daddy. And he is good. A good, good father. Amen. Time's definitely gone. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that you don't change. And in amongst our real lives and our circumstances and our everyday, you are who you are. And we are grateful. We're grateful that you have gathered us into your very self. And that you are very much our Father. And you are good all of the time. In every aspect of every life, you are good. Lord, we pray for each other here this morning. And we pray that this truth, that this absolutely fundamental bedrock reality would be illuminated to our hearts. That there would be this fresh revelation of this truth that you are a good, good father. That you deal with us in this personal, relational, gentle way. And you somehow enable us to thrive within the context of your love. And Lord, we pray this morning, that this would just increasingly in our awareness be the context of our lives. Yourself, your goodness, your loving faithfulness, your kindness to us. Thank you that there is now no longer any distance between us. You've brought us in really close. And you keep us by your grace in that place of love and security and safety and relationship. And we love to be yours. We love to be your sons and daughters. We love to be your family. We love to be kind of owned by you, to be yours. Thank you for one another. Thank you that even in this, you have given to us this connection of brothers and sisters, of family in yourself. And we're delighted to be yours. Amen.